Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the heart of the Carolinas, a voice of reason, an oasis of civility and humanity.
I'm on a journey, the pursuit of truth, not just facts to fill the head, but also life-changing power to change hearts and transform minds. A journey of relationship, to connect to people of goodwill everywhere, to build upon civil society, to transcend tribal divisions with timeless values and love, a growing coalition of choice, not coercion. Are you with me?
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
Oh, yeah. This is the Vince Coakley program, but if you noticed yesterday, old Vince, the pipes were kind of clogging up. So it is the recovering congressman, J.D. Hayworth, so honored to be back with you. Why, we got together, it seemed just like a couple of weeks ago. And here I am again, toll-free from any place, 1-800-928-1110, or Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. And you have been connecting with me via social media. In fact, when I forewarned some of you as a public service that I would be back behind this microphone, one of my old pals from High Point, back when we were growing up, sent me a note saying, "Hey, you're going to be talking about basketball." He, of course, a Carolina fan. We know what happened last night at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Zion Williamson, I guess the lawyers are going to be trooping to your door. Man, that whole shoe thing, and now that knee thing, and that Tar Heel victory, actually, to tweak my old pal, Brother Jimmy, I said, "Oh, you mean State winning in overtime at Boston College?" And went, wait. Well, we might get to that. But since I'm a recovering member of Congress, as Governor Croy on WBT has pointed out, he accuses me of absconding to Arizona to get elected, but it was just life events like, you know, jobs and things that happen. At any rate, having represented Arizona in Congress for six terms, that would be 12 years, I had more than a casual interest in what was going on in my native state of North Carolina and the place, if you're listening in the upstate of South Carolina on WORD, well, those 5 years at Channel 4 in Greenville, as the sports anchor there, so many friends in the upstate. So I would keep an eye on the congressional delegations of both North and South Carolina and seek them out because, you know, hey, it's where I grew up and where I went to work, and then life intervened. So what is going on in North Carolina's 9th district is of special concern, not only to me, I would argue to everyone in the country, because it carries some implications. No, it does not change the political composition of the majority status enjoyed by Democrats now in the House of Representatives, but it can have a profound change on a district that can really become a battleground. That district stretching from Charlotte down east, and of course now infamously containing Bladen County. But what really has everybody talking, and some folks commenting on the stories published by the Charlotte Disturber, and oh, you better believe, the editorial board at the Disturber is loving every minute of this, as are some of their commenters. But to glean out some of the unfortunate and predictably leftist responses, A couple of Disturber readers have said this is a Greek tragedy. A son taking the stand against his dad. Well, whatever you want to call it, the fact that there is a family dynamic at work that John Harris, son of Republican nominee and the apparent victor in the 9th District of North Carolina, Reverend Dr. Mark Harris, the fact that John Harris would take the stand yesterday, that right there, apart from the law, has all the tongues wagging. And that right there may be what really, in the courtroom of public opinion, not this quasi-judicial hearing by the North Carolina Elections Board, may make the difference. Speaking of which, as I'm monitoring the live feed, Mark Harris is preparing to sit down and testify. But yesterday, it was his son, John Harris, talking about McCray Dowless of Bladen County, who worked for the Democrats in previous races, but the employee of Mark Harris's campaign. John Harris testified yesterday that, hey, he tried to tell his mom and dad this guy was bad news. Here is the way John Harris recounts it.
I thought that they were illegally collecting ballots based on the data I had reviewed, and that was what informed, you know, my view on it and why I wanted to relay that to them.
So you again described the research, I guess, you had done based on the number of absentee ballots that were being delivered, that you think that was sort of evidence that it was being collected. Did you talk about that specifically in that conversation?
Yes.
So what he's saying is, you know, I went back and looked at the data. And to see the guy who finished in third in the primary 2 years ago get all the votes down in Bladen County, there were just some disturbing things about what had been going on. And again, Assistant U.S. Attorney for Eastern North Carolina, John Harris, son of Mark Harris, said, look, I went to my folks. I told him, here again, John Harris.
I told him in the phone call that I thought they were illegally collecting the ballots. I can tell you that my view is that they heard my concerns, that other people that were a lot closer to the situation and Mr. Dowless endorsed his activity, and Mr. Dowless lied to them repeatedly.
And speaking of the word lie, which is bandied about with such abandon these days, robbing us of the civility that Brother Vince often speaks about. They're at least with Mark Harris a while back on WBT Charlotte. Well, I don't know how you square this with his son's testimony. Listen to this flashback.
You never heard one red flag?
No, not in that meeting. In that meeting, it was very clear.
But at all, ever?
No, except, I mean, I would later learn that obviously there had been things that in the past that had been looked into, but everything that had been looked into, everything had come out just perfectly fine.
This thing ain't going fine for Mark Harris, and one reason why is that answer. Now, maybe he thought the question had to do with campaign officials. John Harris played no role in his campaign. Family advice, I can say this as a candidate, family advice differs from what you hear from the lawyers you hire, etc., etc. Your thoughts on this and more on the difference between what is legal and what is moral just ahead. It's JD for Vince. Stay tuned. Mercy, I tell you what, let's get in right now. Mark Harris is on the stand testifying before the State Board of Elections. Here's live coverage.
We'll tell them about the candidates, if they have any questions at all, we make them aware that they have to have two witnesses sign their ballot or a notary. And should they need two witnesses and we're there, then we can witness their ballot. And then we urge them to get it in the mail as soon as possible. And he said, and I'll never forget, he said it again and again, he said, we do not take the ballot. He said, I don't care if it's a 95-year-old woman in a wheelchair or on a walker, you don't take the ballot. And you can walk her on her walker to the mailbox and she put it in and raise the flag, or you can push her in a wheelchair to the mailbox and she can put it in and raise the flag. He said, but we don't touch ballots and don't take ballots.
All right, let me bring it back out here now, because obviously in the context of what we're listening to, it's the GOP nominee, Reverend Mark Harris, recounting what McCrae Dowless, who was hired by the Harris campaign, had to say about absentee ballots. And that's Mark Harris's story. Now, what's going to happen in this whole thing? In the courtroom of public opinion, it's going to be his own son came out and testified against him. Why, that in and of itself sullies this process. But let me just caution you. There is a difference between legality and illegality and the dynamics of a family relationship. You're wanting to talk about this, and we're going to take some of your calls. We'll continue to monitor Reverend Harris's testimony to the North Carolina Elections Board. But first up, from Gaston County, Tom is on the line. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Fine, sir.
Listen, here's the deal. There needs to be a new election based on what I've heard. There needs to be a new election. If Harris wins, he wins. If he loses, he loses. If McCready runs and wins or loses, it needs to be a new election. But with regard to the Harrises, Reverend Dr. and Mrs. Harris, they evidently, allegedly, to my knowledge, have raised their son to be very Christian-like, Christ-like, and he's just doing what his parents have taught him, to speak the truth and to stand up for what is right. So
but let me drill down with that, Tom. So you're saying to us, even though you want to see a brand new election, you're not personally, you don't believe that Reverend Harris or his wife were in on some sort of skullduggery in Bladen County.
No, I didn't say that.
Now that's a big deal. So, okay, you're saying they're great parents. You're saying that Mark Harris is a crook.
No, I'm not saying he's a
crook.
Well,
now what are you saying then?
Then, if you'll let me listen,
Okay,
what I'm saying is the man that, that collected the ballots? What is his name? I can't remember.
Yes, that would be McCrae Dowless.
McCrae is a absolute total slumbag and crook, and the American way of life, of voting, is at stake. I don't know.
Let me just ask you this, Tom.
Sure.
Do you believe, as Governor McCrory called for the other morning, that this go back to the election prior, where McCrae Dowless was apparently in the employee of the Democrat Party?
Let me say this, then, to answer your question. In life, there are two kinds of people, and this goes for you, me, and everybody else. In life, there are two kinds of people, the caught and the uncaught.
Oh, so as long as Evil Roy Cooper and the gang get away, that's cool with you?
No, I said there are two people, the caught and the uncaught, and I'm saying the Harris campaign evidently has got caught.
Okay, so let's chalk it up. The Democrats are paragons of virtue because they didn't get caught. Thanks, Tom. Man, you made it as clear as mud. In Charlotte, Joe is on the phone. Hi, Joe.
Hello, sir. Nice to talk to you. Good morning.
Thank you.
I just want to say, how in the world did, I believe his name was John Harris, his son, how did they, subpoena him? I mean, did he come forward on his own and say, I have some testimony to, because if I understood earlier, I might be wrong, he wasn't employed by the campaign.
No, he wasn't. Not at all. Here's
understand it. But if he wasn't employed, I mean, how did they? Because you get you.
Okay. Here's the deal. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on, Joe. Let me tell you. John Harris is an assistant United States attorney for Eastern North Carolina, based in Raleigh. He had no role in the campaign, as I understand it. As a son, he apparently, based on his testimony, called his folks and said, look, you better stay away from this guy. Now, as the Disturber reports it, he appeared as a surprise witness, which is more than passing curious. A surprise witness, in my mind, doesn't mean a subpoena, but Joe, you have raised a point that needs to be answered. Did the Democrat lawyers subpoena John Harris? What was the process by which John Harris shows up in front of the North Carolina Elections Board? Now, this other intriguing nugget from the breathless coverage of the Charlotte Disturber, quoting now, John Harris cut off most communication with his parents after December 3rd, but has talked to them about his father's recent health problems. Now, you take a look at the footage, at the pictures of Reverend Harris yesterday, and his facial expression tells me that he didn't have a clue that his son was going to be on the stand, and indeed it was a surprise. Now, speaking of the family dynamic, in his testimony yesterday, and by the way, thanks for the call, Joe, in his testimony yesterday, North Carolina Assistant Federal Attorney John Harris says, look, there's no family feud going on here. Listen.
I love my dad, and I love my mom. Okay. I certainly have no vendetta against them, no family scores to settle, okay? I think that they made mistakes in this process, and they certainly did things differently than I would have done them.
All right, so he says mistakes were made. There's not a family feud. This is not, if you're well-versed in your Old Testament, this is not Absalom versus David. This is not some sort of political takedown. This is not something where a young man is preying on his parents to take a dispute public. But what I think is interesting is less the family dynamic than the political dynamic. The first call we got today, Tom was filled with praise for the way Mark Harris and his wife raised John Harris. But then he was leaving things hanging about Reverend Harris. He wasn't going to call him, like, a crook. But then he said, well, you know, it's who gets caught and who doesn't get caught. The whole notion of selective enforcement. Telling me he didn't want to open it up to what may have gone on before with the bad guy in Bladen County and the Democrats. Interesting how that works. More your calls ahead. It's JD for Vince. Stay tuned.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
But in thinking about all of this and engaging in this process and watching it all unfold, I've thought a lot more probably about my own little ones than my parents and the world that we're building for them.
That is Assistant United States Attorney for Eastern North Carolina and son of North Carolina 9th District Republican nominee and the guy we thought won the election, Mark Harris. That is John Harris. Yesterday on the stand in that quasi-judicial hearing in front of the North Carolina Board of Elections, J.D. Hayworth in this morning for Vince Coakley. You are lining up with your comments via telephone, toll-free from any place, 1-800-928-1110 or Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. Back to your calls in just a second. Again, the point I want to make, a couple of them. And again, this comes from the breathless coverage of the Charlotte Disturber, this rather intriguing passage, quoting now, John Harris cut off most communication with his parents after December 3rd, but has talked to them about his father's recent health problems. Okay, what's left hanging out there? Was it something that, as an attorney, albeit a federal officer of the court, John Harris felt ethically constrained about any interaction with his parents? Or was it more of a family feud thing? John Harris says, no, that's not the case. And then, continuing, as we just heard John Harris on the stand yesterday, as, by the way, his dad, the Reverend Mark Harris, is on the stand right now as we're monitoring his testimony in Raleigh, John Harris said, look, I got to try to save things for my own kids, for the congressional candidate's grandkids. And so you just heard him talk about that. But then, as he concludes his final statement, he offers something that, it prompts, at least in my mind, a couple of questions. Once again, from yesterday's testimony, concluding his comments, here again, North Carolina Assistant U.S. Attorney John Harris.
I will be frank, Mr. Chairman, watching all this process unfold, we have got to come up with a way to transcend our partisan politics and the exploitation of processes like this for political gain. That goes for both parties, Democrats and Republicans, and Libertarians. And frankly, when I'm coming out of this process, I'm just left thinking that we can all do a lot better than this. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we can all do a lot better than this. Which brings me back to the point I want to make. He says both major parties, and then as an afterthought, John Harris throws in the Libertarians. The way I used to say it, and I'll freely acknowledge, I borrowed this line from the late John McCain, my friend and at one time my political opponent in a Republican primary in Arizona. This goes for Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, Vegetarians. For all Americans, we need to have a clean and transparent election system. Great. So then the State Board of Elections, if they follow the counsel of Counselor John Harris, would be, let's open this up. Then Governor McCrory had all sorts of questions about irregularities in Bladen County that, for whatever reason, didn't rise to the level of a Democrat losing election, like happened this time with a Democrat governor in charge. And our first caller pointed out something, and I'm going to give the guy a break because he's probably saying, J.D., you're mischaracterizing things. No, I understand this, and this may be a paraphrase. When you think about it, all enforcement is selective. You don't believe me? I'll just give you this example. You're on I-77 or I-85 right now, and you're going in excess of the speed limit, but people are passing you. However, a highway patrolman pulls you over. Now, you could say there were other people doing this. Yeah, but he had the clock on you. So by its nature, all law enforcement is selective, but isn't it more than passing curious? In a very close gubernatorial election, the Charlotte Disturber and all the Democrats are saying, it's settled, it's over. Pat McCrory's a crybaby. But now, there's something wrong here. I just suggest that a good course of action for the North Carolina Elections Board is to follow the advice of John Harris. If this applies to everybody, open up this investigation, find out just how rotten Bladen County was, and just who may have benefited, Republican and Democrat alike. 1-800-928-1110, toll-free from any place. And across Metro Lina, 704-570-1110. Back to the phones from Charlotte. I believe Terry is on the line. Hi, Terry.
Hey, J.D. Good show, and I enjoy your insight. And my thought is when it comes to politics, especially voter fraud, nothing, absolutely nothing would surprise me nationwide. And one thing, and if you'll please give me just a little bit of time, one thing a lot of people don't realize that contributes to politics and electoral college and all that stuff is every single person within a household, 18 and above, whether they're legal or illegal, are counted and therefore influence the number of electoral votes each state has.
And let me just go right there to tell you that is the subject of a case in court where the latest ruling is, even though California is trying to short-circuit this in its headlong rush into the third world, a federal judge has said, nope, a citizenship question can be on the census form. And I don't want to get too far afield, Terry. I appreciate what you're telling me. Make your point, wrap it up. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, and thank God, I hope they do that, and I hope that goes through. But in regards to this, in regards to the situation that we're dealing with and you're talking about, all things considered, in my opinion, he wasn't asked to testify. He was not a member of the campaign. He gave his opinion, of which was not followed. To me, this is the ultimate betrayal to a family. Father.
I appreciate your call,
because,
Terry. Listen, I'm up against the clock, Terry. That's why I have to cut you off. I'm not trying to be rude, but we're called away to pay some bills. So Terry says it's a kid's betrayal of his father. Is that true? I think there's another distinction, again, about what is legally correct and what is family advice. More about that and more your calls when we come back.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
I am requesting, as the former governor of North Carolina, that the North Carolina Elections Board expand its voter fraud investigation back to the 2016 general election. This request was totally rejected and ignored back in 2016 when my campaign asked that we investigate the same type of allegations that are being directed toward the Harris campaign. And now information has come out during the last 24 hours where the group that my campaign said was possibly acting inappropriately representing the Democratic Party was possibly doing the same thing in the 2018 campaign. Our state needs to clean up this mess on both sides of the aisle.
Former Governor Pat McCrory, this past Tuesday morning, if memory serves, on his WBT program. Whether you're listening on WBT or WORD, this is the Vince Coakley program. Recovering Congressman J.D. Hayworth behind the microphone. And more of you are lining up with comments at 1-800-928-1110 or 704-570-1110. Back to the phones in a second. But again, my question is this. Just what the governor brought up, because if I'm not mistaken, on the timeline of this week's events, the same day that the former governor says on WBT, let's expand the investigation, the Charlotte Disturber says, I've got to be a brand new election. Let me just point this out. Despite the sizzle and the intrigue of a son testifying, quote, seemingly against his father, the fact is 900 votes separated the Republican nominee, Reverend Harris, from the Democrat nominee, Mr. McCready. So those 900 votes didn't come from Bladen County. Again, there's a distinction between what is legally correct and what is politically expedient. And, you know, people say about partisanship, you know, you guys argue just for the sake of arguing. One side says shirts, the other says skins. One side says dots, the other says stripes. No, listen this way. There is a function of partisanship to keep the other guy honest. But it's not fulfilled if there's a, never mind the legality of this. Boom, let's have a new election because a guy's son testified seemingly against him. Back to the phones we go from Charlotte. Let's say hello to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, J.D. How are you?
I'm a little bit concerned about all that's happening, but it's good to have you on.
Well, J.D., one of my questions is, and I'll be very quick and frank, do you think that it's very possible that the interview they had with Mark Harris about the concerns and asking him if he had had any contact or the knowing of McRae Dallas, that interview actually came before his son voiced his concerns to him about what was going on?
Well, you know, you set up an interesting notion of the timeline.
Yes, sir.
And, but to hear his son in the context, his son, and this is something that I don't have a clear answer for because I wasn't in Raleigh to hear every word of his testimony yesterday. And let me put it this way. It's at least within the realm of possibility, but it seems to me in the context of what John Harris was saying, even before his dad went with it, he said no. But it's also worth noting this, and I think most attorneys would agree with this. And again, let me caution, Ron, I'm not a lawyer, never played one on TV. J.D. in my name stands for John David, not for Juris Doctor. Now, with that disclaimer, here's a point I'm going to make. There's no criminal exposure for Mark Harris, no matter what a family member says. Right. Even his son with that dramatic testimony yesterday. There may be some direct legal exposure for others, but not for, in my opinion, based on what I see and what I know of election law, I don't think there's any criminality here that can be pinned on Mark Harris. And the further point, and this really sets us up that may take us in the next hour, let me ask you this. Let's say, and I don't know the number of votes in dispute in Bladen County, but right. I don't believe they eclipse this, 900 vote margin that would take the election out of the hands of Mark Harris. Now, the Board of Elections or previous composition of the board said, no, well, we're not gonna certify Mark Harris the winner. Right. But if they go strictly on the numbers, wouldn't Harris be certified? Or are they going to clamor to the, oh, a son testified, never mind the law, let's go ahead and have a new election?
J.D., you know, it's such a mess there within this thing. And, you know, one thing that also comes to my mind, and it's something to think about, does his son have any rapport with Dan McCready?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I guess that is going to be a subject about which the Charlotte Disturber will be markedly incurious, but it's something that maybe the intrepid reporters at WBT Charlotte will take a look at. Hey, listen, thanks for the call, Ron. We'll continue this next hour. If you've missed any of this program, the podcast is available immediately after the show at WBT.com. We will continue both on WBT and WORD. It's JD for Vince. Hour two is ahead.
Is the Vince Coakley radio program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.